Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Ephesians chapter 4, we're looking here at verse 21. If indeed you have heard and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Notice that there's an old man that you got to put off. Has anybody ever put you off? They're not answering your phone call. They're not paying you back. They're not giving you what belongs to you. They keep putting you off. Don't feel good, does it? That's exactly what you need to do to the old man. The flesh. That's what you need to put him off. He says, I want to do this. And you just put him off. You put something ahead of him. Put something ahead of him. What do you put ahead of him? Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Put on the new man. So we're putting off the old man, and we're putting on the new man. We're responding to the new man. We're giving the new man what he wants, when he wants it. We're yielding. We're quick to yield to the new man, or the inner man, or our spirit man, that new creation that's in Christ Jesus. We're quick to cooperate and yield to him, and the flesh, it doesn't matter how much the outer man, the flesh, whines and complains, we just keep putting him off. Hey, I'll get back to you. Not really, but I'll get back to you. We just keep putting him off. Do you see that? Sometimes that's just all you have to do. Just ignore it. Don't give your flesh what it wants. Just don't give your flesh what it wants. It'll cry out for it. It wants your immediate attention. It wants immediate gratification. I want to eat that pie now. Well, you're not going to have it right now. Now, we might eat the pie, but we're not going to eat it right now. We're just going to put you off a little bit. Put you off until later. And if you whine too much, it might never happen. Don't push me. Don't push me, the real me, the inner man. But you see, a lot of folks got to, you know, they got to turn around. The inner man's like, pray, pray. I know, I will. I'll get to that. Feed on the Word of God. Read your Bible. We will. We'll get to that. I'm just so busy right now. I got a lot of things going on. And we keep putting off the inner man, the new man, the spirit man, and what he wants and desires. And we're, the flesh wants. And we're quick to respond to that. See, we got to get that turned around. If we're going to live a victorious life, we're going to live the kind of life that Jesus came to give us, this is what we have to do. So we have to put off the old man and put on the new man. Respond to the new man. Express the new man. So we said this old man that we have with us always is actually worse than the devil. For that very reason, because he's always with you. Again, the devil will depart for a season. You can resist the devil. He'll flee from you. But the old man, he's with you all the time, and he's a part of you. So that can make it very challenging to deal with him. But we can be stronger than him. We can dominate him and not be dominated by the outer or old man. Romans chapter 7, verse 21 says, I find then a law that evil is present with me. This isn't talking about the devil, the evil one. It isn't talking about him. But evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So again, this isn't talking about the devil. This is just talking about the desires of the flesh. And you got to remember also the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this, he was referring to it. In its context, he's referring to it before he got born again, before he had received the Holy Spirit. He was a religious man, and he had the law, and he delighted in God's word and God's law, and he wanted to be a doer of the law, but he was dominated by his flesh, and he had no power to be able to overcome the desires of his flesh, this evil old man. But now that we have the Holy Spirit, we're born of the Spirit, we have the power of God available to us to be able to dominate the old man. So that's the difference that he's making. Romans chapter 7, he's talking about the old man under the law. Then chapter 8 talks about us under the new covenant with the Holy Spirit. And that now we can, by the Holy Spirit, we can dominate this old man. In fact, he wasn't the old man to Paul back before he was saved. It was just, that was the man. There was no old man and new man. There was no new man. Until after he got born again, then he became a new creation in Christ Jesus, and tells us in Romans the 8th chapter how now we can dominate the old man. But that evil presence is still with us, that old man. And so we do still need to dominate him. We've been saved, we've been made new in our inner man, but the old man has not been made new. Thank God when Jesus comes back, our bodies will be raised incorruptible, and our outer man will become just as new as the inner man. It'll be new also. And so we won't have this struggle throughout all eternity, thank God. But right now we have it, and we should be excited about it because it's building our character. It's strengthening us in our inner man. It's causing us to grow up spiritually in ways that even angels cannot grow because they haven't been faced with the kind of spiritual challenges you and I face. So this is a great thing. It's working for our good if we'll work it by faith, if we'll work the Word of God in our life. So as we said the outer man, or the old man, and the inner man are at war with each other. And they're in a fight to the death. Romans the 8th chapter, there's a lot of scriptures along those lines we're not covering, but I will hit Romans the 8th chapter, verse 13, where it says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." In other words, your flesh will kill you. "But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you kill the body." The deeds of the body, not actually your physical body. You're not killing your physical body. "But you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Now let me go back to Romans chapter 7 real quickly here. Because notice, he says here in Romans 8, he says, if by the Spirit you put to death, well, let's back up. He actually said, verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. You will die. And then Romans chapter 7, verse 11, he says, "For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me." Killed me. Notice what he just said there. He said, sin killed me. Sin operating in the flesh is what he's talking about. Sin operating in his members, the desires to sin in his members, killed him. Well, if it killed him, how in the world is he writing this? How can a man that was killed be writing Romans chapter 7? See, he's not talking about physically being killed, right? He's not talking about physically being killed, but he's talking about being killed. Well, then what's the killing that he's talking about here? He's talking about the killing of your spirit. The killing of your spirit. So now let's go back to Romans 8 chapter, verse 13. He says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." Is he talking about the death of your physical body? No, not first and foremost. It can lead to the death of your body. But first and foremost, that's not what he's addressing. He's not saying if you live according to the flesh, you're going to drop dead. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you will die. And what is he talking about? Same thing he was talking about in Romans 7 about how sin killed him. Well, he was still physically alive. And so it's not talking about physical death, physically dying. He's talking about spiritually being put to death. Being put to death in your spirit. Well, the death of your spirit is the death of your faith. Because you're only as good as your faith. So really what he's talking about there is the death of your faith. If you live according to the flesh, it's going to kill your faith, which is the life of your spirit. So the more you yield and cooperate with the flesh, the more it's going to affect your faith. It's going to hurt your faith,
damage your faith and could even kill your faith so that you have no faith. And if you have no faith, then you have no victory in life, because faith is the victory that overcomes the world, the Bible says over in 1 John. See, you're only as good as your faith, spiritually. You're only good as your faith. You have to have faith. Faith is what causes you to be saved. And your faith can be so damaged and so destroyed that you don't even have faith anymore to be saved. And that's how people end up who were saved, born again, new creations, can end up in hell, because they didn't continue to maintain a strong spirit of faith. You got to, Bible tells us time and time again throughout the scriptures all over the place, tells us about you got to continue in the faith. You got to continue in the faith. It's not I believed back here. It's no, I'm believing and I'm continuing to believe. So we're continuously need to be growing and exercising our faith, developing our faith. Our faith needs to be getting stronger. If your faith is getting stronger, your spirit's getting stronger. If your faith is weak, you're weak. You're weak. So you don't want to be weak. You want to be strong. And you can be spiritually weak. And we'll see that in a little bit. So he's talking about the death of your faith. That's why the Bible says faith without works is dead. So here, a person has faith, but the faith is dead because it has no works. What works does it have? It has the works of the flesh. See, it's the works of the flesh that are dominating the person's life. It's not the work of the Spirit. It's not the Word of God being worked out in their life. And so their faith is dead. So this is why it's so important we don't yield to the flesh. Every time you give into the flesh, it hurts your faith. But every time you yield to your spirit, every time you give into the Word of God and you're a doer, every time you step out on the Word of God, your faith gets stronger. So you want to, every opportunity you get, you want to exercise your faith, yield to your spirit. You know, of course, we have to spend time in the Word of God and we need to pray and things like that. But people think that's the only way to build their faith. No, you need to go out into the world and you need to be around temptations and resist. Resist temptation. Resist giving into your flesh. This is good for you. We're not afraid of trials and tests. We count it all joy. Why? Because it's an opportunity to work out our faith, to strengthen our faith, which is the strengthening of ourselves, our spirit man, which is who we are. We're only as good as our spirit is. And our spirit is only good as our faith is. And so we want to be good. I said we want to be good in life. So we want our spirits to be super, super strong. So we need to put to death the deeds of the body. Not allow the body to get its way and put to death our faith. Cause our faith to be dead, inactive, not working. We want to work, exercise the inner man by being doers of the Word of God. So he says, put to death the deeds of the body. Now, how do you do that? How do you put to death the deeds of the body? How do you do it? How do you kill it? How do you kill it? Well, what was the main weapon back in the day of this writing? A sword, right? A sword was the main weapon back in the day of this writing. So how would they kill somebody primarily? Through a sword. How do you put to death the deeds of your body? Shing! Through a sword. What sword? Ephesians chapter 6. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God is likened to a sword. So you have to take out the sword. Now, we just think of using the sword on the devil. And of course, we do. I mean, that's exactly what Jesus did, right? When the devil came to him, the tempter came to him, and the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. And Jesus went, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what he said to, that's what he said to Satan. Is that right? And this is the devil. This is the big, big, bad, ugly devil. And Jesus dealt with him with the word. And the word is likened to a weapon. It's a sword that cuts and pierces. So somehow in the spirit, that word cut that spirit known as the devil. It cut him. And so then the devil said something else to him. What was Jesus' answer? It is written. Devil said something else to him. He said, it is written. That's all Jesus ever did. He just used the sword of the word of God on the devil, his enemy. But what about this enemy of the flesh? This old man. How do we put him to death? Same way. With the sword of the spirit. With the word of God. How do you do that? I mean, the devil, we just swing at him, you know. He's out here. But how do you apply the sword to yourself? So you got to plunge it into your own heart. See, it's easy to take the sword and cut somebody else's ear off. You know what I'm saying? It's very simple to do that. You know, you just take your sword, whoosh, whoosh, cut someone's ear off, horn off, whatever you want to do to the devil. You swing the devil at other people, whatever. You want to, you know, you can do that. It's always easy to deal with other people and to see the speck in their eye and say, let me cut that out for you. But it's a whole different story to turn that sword on yourself and plunge it into your own self, into your own heart. But that's exactly what we need to do. We need to take the sword. This is how you kill. Put to death the deeds of the body. You got to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you have to plunge it into your own heart. Apply it to your own life. Notice what I said. Plunge it into your heart, not just fill your head with it. You got to take the word of God to heart. It's not enough just to hear with your ears and store it up here in your mind. A lot of people are very taught in the scriptures. They're taught in God's word. But if it's just in your head, it's dead. There's no real life to it. You have to take the word and put it into your heart. Now, I know this sounds very elementary. This sounds very basic. But yet, many times people don't realize it, but they're just settling for the word of God being taught them and just gaining knowledge of the word, not really applying it to their heart. Applying it to their heart. You got to take it to heart. We must engage our hearts when it comes to the word of God. It's not enough just to engage your head. It's not enough to just say, I read my Bible, I went to church, I heard the word of God. That's not enough. That's not enough. That's not going to do the job. You've got to get your heart involved in it. You got to take the word to heart. You got to, what does that mean? You got to personalize it. You got to internalize it. And then externalize it as you utilize it in your life. So we're going to put this thing to work. We're going to we take the word of God seriously. Seriously. What do we mean? Take it to heart. Take it seriously. We see over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and in verse 2. It says, better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. The house of mourning would be like a funeral home. It's better to go to a funeral home and go to the house of feasting, go to a party. For that is the end of all men, because we're all going to end up there. We're all going to end up there. And then he says this, and the living will take it to heart. There's words, take it to heart. We're talking about taking God's word to heart, taking the sword of the word, plunging it into our heart. What does it mean? Well, let's look at the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible says it this way. And the living will take it to heart and solemnly ponder its meaning. Solemnly ponder its meaning. They're going to really think about this. Really put their heart into it and really look to get the understanding of what they're hearing, what they're seeing in the scriptures. See, you could just sit there and be half awake. And you're hearing me. Doesn't mean you're really listening. But you're hearing me. I hear something. Anybody ever talk to you, you know, and you're like, yeah, I hear you. But you aren't listening. So you can be hearing, but not listening. What do you mean? You're not engaged in the conversation. It's like you're just listening and gaining information, but you're not really engaged in the conversation. Man, we need to get engaged with our hearts when we get in the Word of God. And then really ponder what we're reading. A lot of times, you know, you start reading the Word and you could tell you start drifting. You know, maybe I'm on kind of have a thought as I'm reading. I'll be reading the Word of God and I'll have a thought that'll just take me somewhere else. And I'm over here, I'm somewhere else, but I'm still reading. You ever do that? And you just keep reading, and all of a sudden I realize I just read a whole paragraph and I wasn't even listening to what I was reading. Yet I was reading out loud. I mean, I was speaking when I was reading. How can you do that? How can you be reading something, speaking it out with your mouth, and yet you're totally somewhere else? And you see, that can happen. So when that happens, I don't just sit there and say, well, bless God, I got my chapter in today. I go back and say, bless God, I need to get that. You don't need to get that. You've read that. You know, how many times have you read that? You know what it says. I'm going to go back and read that. Look at that. Because I'm not here just to do something. I'm here to get something. Get something in me. I got to get this in me. I got to get this down deep on the inside of me. See, that's where faith is. It's on the inside of our spirit, down deep in our hearts. We got to get the Word deep into our hearts. So I'm not just going to church because I go to church. Well, you know, this is what we do. It's church time. We go to church and we just do our duty according to the flesh. And we get information, but we don't grab it and say, man, get that in me. Get that in my heart. I got to get that down deep on the inside of me. It takes it serious. Ecclesiastes 7 and in verse 21, it says, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you or your best friend. He says, don't take to heart. In other words, don't take everything people say so to heart. Take God's word to heart, not what other people are saying. Because people could change on you. Love you one moment and then the next moment. They could change on you. God will never change. God will never change. He'll never break your heart. So you can always take what he says to heart. Other people can take back what they told you. Change it, twist it, and be something else by this time next week. So we don't take everything to heart people say. So when they say something derogatory, they say something nasty about you, or you hear about something that they said about you that was not nice, we don't go, and we're devastated in our heart because we cut them slack. They're human. As the following verse says, it says, your own heart knows that you've done the same thing. You've done the same thing at times. So don't be so upset at them. The CJB translation says this. It says, also, don't take seriously every word spoken, such as when you hear your servant speaking badly of you. But notice that. Don't take seriously. So instead of taking to heart, this version says, don't take seriously. So taking something to heart is taking something very seriously. So what are we to take very seriously? What are we to take to heart? What we're hearing right now. This is serious. And that's how we put our heart into it. By taking it serious. This is serious stuff. I need to get this. I need to hear this. The CSB translation says, don't pay attention to everything people say. Notice that. Instead of don't take to heart, don't pay attention to everything people say. But when it comes to the word of God being spoken, you take it to heart. You pay attention. Right? You pay attention. We don't allow the outer man to drift and go off to la-la land or to get distracted. And we go wandering around. And then we don't think it's a big deal that we just missed half the service thinking about, you know, the person in front of us ball spot or something. Or you know, we're over here thinking. Over here. Thank you. He covered his head. I don't know why I thought of the bald spot, but God bless you. Praise God. You know what I'm saying? People get distracted. Don't they, Brother David? Amen. People get distracted. People drift off. People wander. And then they don't even concern it. They just miss half the service. They think, well, bless God, I went to church. Now, we're not just talking about church. We're talking about the Word of God. This is serious stuff. We've got to pay attention to every word of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we pay attention to it. But when it comes to other people's words, oh, okay. We don't take it so seriously, so to heart as we do God's words. The CEV translation says, don't listen to everything that everyone says. You know, the Lord gave me this. He said, people lose their edge in life if they don't apply the edge of the sword to their life. People lose their edge in life if they don't apply the edge of the sword to their life. The edge of the sword, what part is that? Well, that's the sharpened portion of the blade. See, we want the sharpest portion of the blade. Unfortunately, there's a lot of folks that are swinging a dull sword. Not that the Word of God is dull, but their faith in the Word of God is dull. Not dead necessarily, but dull, close to dead. They're swinging a, you know, like the Bible says, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. A lot of folks just out there swinging a dry letter. It's scripture, but it's just the letter. There's no heart. There's no real heart in it. It's being taught from the head. It's in their head. They got it. They got it in their head, and now they're teaching it from their head. And a lot of people are just happy to have it that way. I mean, multitudes are happy with just head teaching. Head teaching of the Word of God. Head receiving. Head learning. We cannot settle for that. Too many have settled for that. We're heart people. We're spirit people. We're inner man people. We're not outer man, old man dominated people. We're people of the Spirit. And our spirits cry out for the Word of God. We cry out for the truths of God's Word. We take it serious. We want it. We got to get it. We got to understand. We got to get it in us. That's why we can read the Word over and over, hear the same message over and over. You know, if you're a person that it takes God's Word to heart, you might hear something many, many times. But you never look and go, man, I've heard that before. I got that. Yeah, I know this. I know this. I mean, I could be teaching this. I know that. I mean, how many times are you going to teach this? If you ever find yourself like that, you're totally in the flesh, even though you're in church. Even though you're in a spiritual place, you're not in the Spirit. You're in the flesh. Because if you're here with your heart. Your heart is into this. Your heart is into the house of God. Your heart is into the Word of God. Then it never gets old to you. You realize you can't hear it enough. You got to get this thing. You got to get this thing in you. And no matter how much you got it in you, you can get it in you more. We can get more understanding of it. No one has mastered the Word of God. I can confidently say that about all of you. Including myself. We have not mastered the Word of God. We need to grow. We need to get it. I already got it. Whatever you got is teeny weeny in comparison to what you haven't gotten out of that same thing yet. I mean, even the writers of the Word of God, the Bible tells us, I think it's over in the book of Peter, it says they were writing things that they themselves didn't even really fully understand. It wasn't even fully revealed to them. Why? Because it's God's Word. It's got a depth that's greater than man. And even the writers of it are still learning from their own writings. And that's true about even when you're up ministering the Word of God. Like myself, I'm getting it as I'm ministering it. I'm getting it down deeper inside me as I'm ministering. I don't minister as someone as I've got it, now I'm giving it to you. No, I'm getting it as I'm giving it to you. I'm getting it even as I got it, but I'm getting it as I'm giving it. I don't just got it and I'm giving it. I'm getting it while I got it. I got it, now I'm getting it while I'm giving it. I'm getting it even more. So I get excited. This is getting me fired up. Because I'm getting it. What I've already gotten, I'm getting. Because there's more to get out of what I've gotten. Got it? Good. We need the edge of the sword. We need the sharp part. Huh? We need the sharp part. We need the sharp part of the Word of God. The part that cuts. 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 It'll kill that outer man. It'll kill that old man. Put to death that old man. It'll cut you. It'll cut to the heart. And we see that expression used here in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. It says, now when they heard this, heard the word of God being preached by Peter, they were cut to the heart. He didn't have a dull blade. He applied the sharp portion of the blade, and their hearts received it. Ah! And they were cut. Ah! Through the outer man to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We're ready to make major changes right now in our life. We're ready for that. Acts 7, verse 54. Here Stephen is preaching the word of God. And it says, when they heard these things, this is a different crowd of people. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed at him with their teeth. So the first group, man, they were cut to the heart. They took it to heart. And they said, what must we do? It brought about change in their life. The second group of people, they got cut because it was a sharp word. They got cut to the heart, but the reaction was to gnash at him with their teeth. They got offended. Because it hurt. It hurt. See, that's a lot of times why the people don't use the sharp part of the Bible. They don't want to use the sharp edge. Because it hurts. But really, what does it hurt? It hurts the outer man. The old man. The flesh. It hurts that part of you. That's what it hurts. It hurts that pride. It hurts that arrogance. It hurts the lusts and the desires of the flesh. It hurts it. So it could be very offensive if you're not quite ready to follow Jesus. You're not ready to give your heart to him. And so people that don't want to give their heart to the Lord, they just want to play around the word of God, they get around a sharp word. And you get cut. And something happens. Something always happens when the sword's being swung. Something better be happening. Number one, either people are wanting to repent, wanting to make changes in their life, or they're getting offended. They're getting upset at you. That's just what's going to happen. It's a living word. It's the living word of God. The Bible says it's in Hebrews 4, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And so because of that, it's either offending you or humbling you, opening you up to more of God, to want more, to know your need for more. But woe to you if it's doing nothing. If it's not doing anything, then we need to say, oh, I'm not putting my heart into this. I'm not putting my heart into this. I've allowed myself to become so dull that even the sharp edge of the sword, when it's swinging right in front of me, isn't cutting anything. Because I know this. I've read this. I had that. I have it. See, this is a deception of the enemy to dull us, to make us cold Christians, cold and indifferent Christians. But we want to keep the fire burning, man. I said, we want to keep the fire burning. We want to stay hot for God. We want to live life out of our spirit, out of the new creation, out of the new man. That's how we want to live our life. We don't want to be dominated by sin and demons anymore. We don't want to be controlled by the flesh and the world. We want the new man. It's been recreated in Christ Jesus for good works to arise and shine. That's what we want. But a trick of the enemy is to get us into a place where it's, you hear it, you got this, you know this, you're there, you read your Bible, you got your devotions, you pray every day. Right out of your head. Right out of your head. We got to make sure we're cutting. The word still should be cutting today. Just like in Acts chapter 2, it says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. It still should be cutting us to the heart. That doesn't stop. Well, that's because they got saved. Well, we still need to be getting saved. That's how we're supposed to be working out our salvation, dying daily, as the Apostle Paul said. So the word of God will either upset you or upend you. Turn your world upside down. But watch out if it's not doing either. That's why I don't mind when people get upset. They get upset and leave. I go, praise God, I'm preaching the word. God bless. There's hope for them. There's more hope for them than the guy that just stays and stays and grows cobwebs. Because at least he knows. And I know. Right? Everybody knows. He got upset and he left. But then the guy that just stays and don't do a thing for him. I went to church. I read my Bible. I prayed. That's more dangerous. I said, that's more dangerous. So it's either upending us or upsetting us. Can you say amen? Amen. Upend me, Lord. Turn me upside down. Turn my world upside down. Let your word rock my world. Hallelujah. Pray. Well, it will if we take it to the heart. Take it seriously. Pay attention. Get it. Say, I got to get it. If you had that kind of attitude, I got to get it. Then bless God, it's going to upend you. You won't be able to stay the same anymore. Now, notice also there in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, he says, well, why don't we just look at it real quick. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. He's talking about the armor of God. In verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So notice, it's not just the letter of the word, but it's the spirit of the word that makes the word of God life, living, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It's the spirit. It's the spirit of the word of God. So then we go to Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians 3. And it says in verse 16. That he would grant you. This is a prayer that the apostle prayed for the church at Ephesus. But it's a Holy Spirit inspired prayer. So it's good for us to pray this concerning our church and ourselves today. That he, the Lord, would grant you. according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Notice that. Strengthened with might through his Spirit in the, or your, inner man. That's your spirit. So here he's talking about your spirit being strengthened. Well, if your spirit can be strengthened, then quite obviously your spirit can be weakened. See? Your spirit can be weaker or it can be stronger. Well, we want our spirits to be stronger, don't we? He goes on in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Through faith. Remember, the strength of your spirit is your faith. You're only as strong as your faith is. So if your faith is weak, your spirit's weak. If your faith is strong, your spirit is strong. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Let's move on. Let's look at the Amplified version of that. Amplified Bible says it this way. May he grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality. So he's talking about the inner man being energized and strengthened by his Spirit, by his Spirit. His Spirit strengthening your spirit, energizing your inner man. So how is this accomplished? Well, it's accomplished by praying about it. It's a prayer we can pray. I believe Paul expected to get answers to his prayers. And when we pray, God expects us to believe we receive when we pray. So he was praying that they'd be strengthened, they'd be energized by the Holy Spirit in their inner man, in their spirit. So we need to pray that. We want our spirits to be strong. Lord, strengthen us, strengthen so-and-so with might by your Spirit in our inner man. Strengthen our hearts. Energize us. That's a good prayer to pray every day. Because how many people know we need energy every day? Because we're always using energy. And we can get weaker. Some days you wake up stronger than other days. Some days you wake up strong and by halfway through the day you don't have that strength anymore. You say, what is wrong with me? And a lot of times people go have a cup of coffee. They run to Starbucks. They take it very serious. They run to Starbucks, you know. And that's where they're going to go get their energy. Because they're thinking outer man, outer man, outer man. How about your inner man? Maybe your inner man, maybe your inner battery is drained. Maybe your inner battery needs to be energized. Maybe your inner self needs a kickstart, needs a refreshing, needs some building up. But a lot of folks don't even think like that. See, maybe it's your inner man. Why don't we do something about that? Well, it says Starbucks, why don't we do something else? Why don't we ask God for strength in our inner man? Say, Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit right now. I ask, Lord. I mean, people are always looking for more energy, right? People are always looking for some kind of energy drink, energy bar, energy something, energy pill, energy workout.
I have so much more energy.
You ever see that commercial with that old guy? He's like in his 80s, and he's, you know, he advertises that machine, that inverted thing that you go upside down. You ever see that guy? And he's like, I'm 80-something years old, and I feel great. He jumps up in the air. Because he hangs upside down, he feels great. Okay. But see, you know, to sell his product, you know, energy. It's giving me energy, hanging upside down a few minutes a day, and it'll give you energy. I don't know about that. But it sells, you know, because people, I'm just looking for energy. Here's one way, pray. Ask the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ that he, according to the riches of his glory, would strengthen you with might by his Spirit in your inner man. That's one way to pray. But then, of course, we know for your faith to be built up and your spirit to be energized by the Spirit of God, he's going to need something else. And that's the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And it's hearing with your heart, by the way. It's not just hearing. You can hear teaching all day long, but you gotta hear with your heart. That's when faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. I like to say faith comes by fellowshipping. And fellowshipping with God. Making a heart connection with the Holy Ghost. Making a connection with Him. See, it's hearing with your heart. Faith comes by hearing with your heart. Not just hearing with your head. If faith just came because we heard the word of God with our minds, then we'd all be faith giants. I mean, we would have changed the world already. Every mountain would have been thrown into the sea already. But see, it's not just hearing. It's hearing with your heart. That's how faith comes. So we need the word of God. So it's the spirit of the word, the sword of the spirit, the sword of the what? Spirit, which is the word of God. So the word of God isn't separate of the spirit. See, the word of God is the sword of the spirit. So it's the spirit and the word together. We need both together. So it's not just enough, again, to hear the letter of the word. So it's the spirit of God. How's he going to energize us? As we feed on the word. As we get in the word of God. So we can pray all day and all night and ask God to strengthen us, but if there's no word, what does the Spirit really have to work with? What does the Spirit have to work with? He works with the word to build our faith, to energize our faith, to energize us in the inner man, energize our spirit. He uses the word of God. So that's why we have to be getting the word. Have to be getting fresh word all the time. Fresh word, fresh word, fresh manna from heaven. Praise God forever. And then the Spirit of God will energize us so we have no lack of strength, no lack of faith whatsoever. So we need to pray in faith for strength and feed our inner man the word of God and build our love life. Because that's what he says also, doesn't he? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. See, we gotta walk in love. The Bible says the purpose of the commandments is love from a pure heart. So we need to operate in love. We need to walk in love. How many people, God's a God of love? So when we're hearing the word, we're growing in love. We're seeing love, we're understanding love, and we're walking in love. We're growing in the love of God. But notice what I said there too. I said, you got to feed, pray to God, but feed your spirit. Not just read the word of God, but feed your spirit the word of God. Because remember what Jesus said. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Again, he's talking about feed. And again, there's a perfect example. So here the devil comes, right? The devil says, you're hungry. Turn these stones to bread. That's the answer. Eat more bread. More bread. You need more bread. If you're hungry, eat more bread. What is Jesus' response? What is his response? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word. Yeah, I'm hungry, but the word will satisfy me. The word will sustain me so that I'm not controlled by my physical. I'm not controlled by bread. Too many people are controlled by bread. Too controlled by bread. They're too controlled by food. They just look at it. It's like, they're done. They're gone. They just smell it. And they're gone. They've left. They've checked out. Not just food, but there's a lot of things like that. But notice what Jesus did. Jesus, he kept himself conscious of his inner man. And when he got to a place of not having eaten for 40 days and he was hungry, Bible says he was hungry. And the devil came because of his natural desire. See? His natural desire had brought him into a place of temptation. And then the devil came and said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. This is your answer. This is what will satisfy you. Most people just run and have the bread. Say, bless God, thank God, the fast is over. Today's the day. Even though he was done fasting, he was actually done fasting. He had just fasted 40 days, 40 nights. Technically, he could have said, it's the 40th day, bless God, we're done. Get it in here. I want an extra portion. He still didn't do that. See, how you break the fast is important too. Are we going to do this thing with control? Are we going to just be so conscious of the outer man? To deal with the outer cravings, you've got to become conscious of your inner man. And that's what Jesus is doing. He had outer cravings at this point. He has cravings to eat. He's hungry. But what did he do to combat that? He thought about his inner man and what his inner man feeds on and what his inner man hungers for. And he satisfied and sustained himself through that time of great physical hunger. He satisfied himself by thinking about his spirit and feeding his spirit, being conscious of his inner self. So, you know, you got any kind of desire in the flesh for something that's rising up, start thinking about your inner man. Start thinking about your inner man. What does your inner man want? And don't let the outer man dominate you. Don't go run and give your outer man everything it wants. It's got itchy ears. It's got lustful eyes. It's got all kinds of appetites. And we can't let it dominate us. Are we going to eat food? Yes. But it doesn't have to be an evil thing. It can be a very godly thing. Sometimes that's when I feel the anointing the most. Sitting at the dinner table. Holy Ghost comes in there. That's why we pray over our food. Why do we pray over our food? Because we're not just a bunch of hogs running to the trough. Right? We don't just look and see the pods and go. We stop and we pray. And we go, wait a second. Let's acknowledge God. Let's pray a little bit. This is going to be a long one. Pray a little bit. Let's think about the Spirit. Let's think about the Word of God. Then we'll eat with self-control. So all these natural desires that we have in life, they're not evil unless they are dominated by the outer man. But if they're controlled by the inner man, then it's a means by which we can express the life of Jesus through creation, through these natural things. He wants us to enjoy the things of this world. Things of this world aren't evil of itself. It's only evil when it's lustful and selfishness that is the one that's experiencing these things. But when love and peace and joy and faith is eating and drinking and making merry, then bless God, it's a good thing. God's glorified in it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give them a shout while you can. So I like to say, we're not just reading the word, we're feeding on the word. See, because that gets us out of the head and thinks about our heart. Just by saying that, I'm going to go feed on the word. We say that all the time. I'm going to go feed on the word. Have you fed on the word? Go feed on the word. We don't sit there and say, have you read the word? No, we fed. We fed on the word, right? And that helps us to get out of our head and become more conscious of our inner man, which is going to help us in life to live life out of our spirit and not be dominated by the flesh. I don't want to be dominated by the flesh, do you? No, there's nothing good there. It ends up in the death of your faith, which is our victory over the world. Can't let that happen. We got to feed our faith. Can you say amen? So we feed our faith by reminding ourselves that we are first a spirit. We are a spirit. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we don't focus on the outer things. We focus on inward things. That's our focus. We're aware of outer things, but that's not our focus. That's not what we take really serious. What we take really serious is our inner man. See, too many people, they get all in a tizzy. And they get all frustrated. And they get all mad, like Martha, over outward things. They get all upset and all uptight about outward things because they're taking it way too serious. They're taking it to heart. Martha was taking the house cleaning and the cooking to heart. It's like, relax, Martha. There'll be another meal at another time. And the house that you're cleaning is going to get dirty again. Don't worry about it. The dirt is on the carpet. Clean it up. It'll be back. Oh, and everybody just takes the outer thing so seriously. pressure and tension. Nothing good. It's killing your faith. It's making you a faith weakling. You can't let that happen. What we take seriously is spiritual things, love. I'm going to walk in love when there's dirt on my carpet. Because walking in love, I take seriously. Dirt on my carpet, it's too bad. Can I remind you, take your shoes off before you come in my house? Okay, thanks, but I love you. But instead what we do is we despise that individual that put dirt on my carpet. You getting this? The drama, is it helping? Right? You! Oh, no, that's not good. That's not good. It should be the other way around. It's just carpet. You. See, the people are more valuable than the thing. You are more valuable than things. And yet people value themselves based on things. They have a bad day if things go wrong. They go bad when things go bad. Who cares if things go bad? You're still good. Don't put your heart into your hair not going well for you today. Don't put your heart into the smudge of makeup under your eye. Don't get all frustrated because you can't get the screwdriver to work on the thing. You know what I'm saying? Don't hate yourself over it. Don't despise yourself over it. Don't treat yourself as trash because the thing didn't work right. And it didn't turn out. That's not a big deal. You are. And the people you're influencing are a much bigger deal than that thing. See how we need to get that balance right? See, we need to emphasize spiritual things, inner things, the true valuable things, the eternal things, not the temporary, fleshy, natural things. Can you say amen? Praise God. Say, I'm a spirit. I'm a new creation. I'm not worried about the old things. I put that off. But I put on the new. The new man that's created in the likeness of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank him tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.